We're doing Rav Charlap.
Aviel was in coffee. I said, whatever you guys decide, I'm absolutely fine.
We're doing Rav Charlap. Our subject is Gilui Kvod Malchuto Malchuto Atzma. The revelation of the honor of Hashem's kingship and Hashem's kingship itself. Gdola tshuva shemagat at kisei kavod. Chazal tell us tshuva is so great, it reaches Hashem's heavenly throne. Shtei b'chinot shel kavod yesh. There are two aspects of kavod, of honor. Kavod Hashem and kavod malchuto. There's the honor of Hashem and the honor of His kingship, His reign. Kavod Hashem hu etzem itgalut malchuto, ech shekol olamot v'kol haviyah kulayim malchut shamayim. Honoring Hashem is understanding that Hashem's revelation, the revelation of His kingship, all the worlds, all of existence, it's all Hashem's kingdom. That's honoring Hashem. Everything I see is really His kingdom. It's not just I'm accepting the kingship of heaven upon me, it's that the kingship of heaven is everything. Everything here is Hashem's kingdom. Everything I look at, everything that exists, all of creation. And that's the distinction between Am Yisrael and angels. Hamalachim yisigim rak te'erech shel kabalat ol malchut shamayim. The angels understand the concept of accepting the yoke of the heavenly kingdom. We say, kulam mekablim aleim ol malchut shamayim ze mizeh. Right? Am Yisrael, but Am Yisrael are on a higher level of tu'at melech bo. That we recognize that we are Hashem's kingship. They can say Hashem is king over everything. We can say I am part of Hashem's kingdom. We are bnei melachim. Tru'at melech bo. Hashem's companionship is with us. We are representation of Hashem's kingship. It's not just we recognize His kingship over everything, but I am part of that. I am part of Hashem's kingship. Kvod banchut, what is it? The honor of kingship. And by the way, today I was very tempted. I didn't think we would succeed. But I was very tempted to cancel class and say we should all go outside and watch all the different prime ministers and presidents pass by. Because the Gemara says that if a Jew has an opportunity to see the honor of the king, go see it. And not only a Jewish king, even a non-Jewish king. It says rabbis in the Gemara would stop their learning and go out and see. And I think that the honor of Obama passing by here is... No, he came by helicopter. I wasn't sure if we'd see anything. But if we could...
By, you can't see anything.
You can't see anything. That's what I figured.
Second of all, they don't have the power of life and death.
What?
They don't have the power of life and death.
Yeah, but it's still, it's the greatest honor you could see in a lifetime. Saying, I saw when Putin drove by. Wow, what a dismal sight. No, six limousines, big deal. You know, a few police cars, it wasn't impressive at all.
That's seeing a king, though. Someone who has power of life and death.
Say there, I'm saying. But Obama, you know, they fly in planes with motorcycles. Okay, that's what Chazal wanted us to see. But I wasn't sure we'd see anything. You're saying you can't see anything. Okay, so I figured. And I didn't know if he's coming in by helicopter. They might have flown him into the Knesset. So I said, can I cancel class? Yeah.
Is that only so you can see a Jewish king and then appreciate?
That's what it says. Ultimately, but you'll see Mashiach. You'll have an appreciation. Why is it important to have an appreciation? I have no clue.
No, but, oh, it's just... When Mashiach comes.
Yeah.
So he's the difference.
What?
If you never saw it, you would have no idea how great it was. It's like, going back to your earlier topic, if you never had any pain, you wouldn't know how good you feel all the time.
It's just like going to the shuk at midnight.
Hey, back to Rav Charlap. The honor of the kingship, Kvod Malchut, ba rak meotam shem zulat ha-melech. You can honor when you're external. If you're external, you can show honor. Shelo yitachin kvod malchut mitzad ha-melech atzmo. Hashem himself doesn't honor himself. Right? It comes from the outside. Ukshamalchut ne'elemet, azayim to'er tabchinat shel harachat tzikei kedera. And when you can't see the kingship, so then comes the time where you could just smell the food that's being cooked. כמו שמביאה גמרא שם, שלכן אומרים ברוך שם כבוד מלכותו לעולם ועד, שיעקב אמרו משהו בן לא אמרו. Why do we say ברוך שם כבוד מלכותו? We say, blessed is the name of the honor of his kingship. Yaakov said it, Moshe didn't say it. So that's why we say it quietly. Rav Yitzchak said, in the name of the Academy of Rabbi Ami, משל למה הדבר דומה? What's that similar to? To the king's daughter that smelled the food that was being cooked. So what they used to have, they used to put dough on top of the pots, and the dough would absorb all the smell that came out, or a lot of the smell. That was called tzikei kedera. So the king's daughter smelled it, and she said, I want some of that dough. because the dough absorbed from the cooking. So at least let me taste it. I'll get the flavor of what's being cooked. So she's standing there and she's thinking, can I ask for it? It's not nice. I'm the princess. I'm supposed to eat the food itself after it's cooked. Why don't I wait till they finish cooking it? If I don't ask for it, I'm standing here smelling it and I'm salivating. So what did she do? She had her servants bringing in quietly behind the door. They'd slip her some of that dough and she'd sit and lick that, and that's how she got away with it. So that's what Chazal say. That's the idea of us saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam Ve'ed quietly. That we're sneaking it in. We're like the princess who says, I want to, but I can't, so I'm the princess, I'm supposed to do the real thing.
How is that comparable? I don't understand. I mean, I understand the connection with regards to saying it quietly, but why do we have to sneak in our saying of Baruch Shem Kavod?
I'm going to explain the way my limited understanding is. We live a life where we were embarrassed. Our declaration of Kvod Malchuto is not where it should be. Why did I do A or B or C if I really recognize Kvod Malchuto? The angels don't feel bad. The angels don't say, hey, I did A or B or C wrong. They could say out loud, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto.
Because they never do anything.
They don't do anything wrong. So they could say it out loud. So we don't say it out loud.
Because for us to say it out loud, we would have an element of hypocrisy?
But what we've done wrong, the things we've done wrong, makes it that on the one hand we have a yearning. I want to be able to declare, I see Hashem's kingship like the angels see. Hashem is king over everything that goes on here. On the other hand, I'm not there. So we say it quietly.
Oh, okay. What about Ma'aseh Nishma? I mean, it says in the Gemara, who told Mikala, Rose, Bni, like this is something of the angels, and that was something that we shouted, right?
But that was right. That's what we'd like to do.
Is it still the same thing? Should we say that quietly?
Could we say it today? I don't know if we could say it out loud. I don't know. Depends on what. On a specific mitzvah, we say Asiti Kechol Asher Tzivitani. To say in general, I see Hashem's kingdom, Baruch Shem, out loud. Well, that's a little bit difficult for us to say.
If Yaakov said it, then the potential for us to say it has to be there, right?
He says Yaakov also whispered it. I don't know where he got that from, but he says Yaakov didn't say it out loud. He says Yaakov whispered it. You're right. What can I say? Okay.
If that was his response to them saying Shema Yisrael because they were how could he whisper that?
Because it could be that was to their bon shalom. It's not necessarily to them that he said it. He was saying to their bon shalom, thank you. He was saying, he was thankful that all his children were faithful to what he taught them. So angels were created so that there's something external. Hashem runs his world and he has, so to speak, messengers. Angels are supposed to be something different. Hashem says, I send my angel A or B or C to do it. If it's all Hashem. But us, we always view the opposite side of that. That we're supposed to be a part of Hashem's kingdom, who we are. So if I can't do what angels do, I'm embarrassed. If I can't say Baruch Shem Kvod out loud, so that's an embarrassment.
Angels only there's like a midrash that they only say it once every 50 years. That they don't say it whenever they want to, right?
I don't know. Don't remember such a thing. Could be. I don't know. On Yom Kippur, we gain forgiveness. So then I can actually say Baruch Shem out loud. And then when I say it, It's not something that I'm embarrassed that I'm saying it. I'm saying, no, today I want to do everything right. On Yom Kippur, you ask a person, this is what I want. I'm in the process of doing tshuva. I want to do tshuva. I'm trying to do tshuva. Now I'm at a place where I could say Baruch Shem and I can say it wholly. I could say it out loud. But we seek a time where Yimalei Kvod Hashem Kol Haaretz. Everyone will recognize Hashem's honor. Vaya Hashem the Melech al Kol Haaretz, right? So we want that Haya Hashem the Melech, the honor of Hashem's kingdom will be recognized. Kol Haaretz. We say everything is Hashem's kingdom, but they should also recognize it. We say Se'u Sharim Rashechem, right? We say the Pasuk, the gates should open up, and the king of honor, Melech HaKavod, should enter. Hashem Tzvakot is Melech HaKavod, right? What is Su Sharim Rashechem? Technically, there are gates. That means Hashem is outside the gates. That means the king is not right here. Where there's a gate separating us. G'dola Tshuva. Through our Tshuva, we can go through those gates. We reach a point of reaching the Kisei HaKavod. Through Tshuva, we try to bring a point where the whole world is Kisei HaKavod. Right? That's what we said in the first Pasuk. Vaya Hashem the Melech al Kol Haaretz. All of earth will recognize Hashem as King. When we didn't reach that, so then our Tshuva is not complete. In a person's individual life and in the world's existence. So let's summarize what we saw until now. We said Tshuva reaches the heavenly throne. We said there are two aspects of Kavod. There's Kavod Hashem and Kavod Malchuto. Kavod Hashem, the honor of Hashem, is the recognition that everything out here is His kingdom. That's the honor of Hashem, the honor of His. Am Yisrael and the angels. The angels say, I recognize Hashem is king over everything. Am Yisrael says, I am a part of His kingdom. I am part of His kingdom. That's Kvod Hashem. Kvod Malchuto, honoring His kingdom, can only come from outside. That's the angels. We are like the princess who says, I wish I could really be at least on the angel's levels and say, I see Hashem's the honor of His kingdom, that everything here is His kingdom. But we're embarrassed to say that because we don't live up to it. So we say it quietly. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto. There are those gates that we say they'll open up and then Hashem will come forth. That's reminding us that there are gates that are in the way. And Hashem's kingdom is not yet revealed. The world lives in a place where Hashem is like on the other side of the gate. Through our tshuva, we come close to Hashem. Tshuva is what brings us G'dola tshuva shemagat at kisei hakavod. The greater the tshuva, when the world will reach a point, Vaya Hashem the Melech al kol haaretz, then Hashem comes through the gate, so to speak, then there's a clear recognition. Now, in our terminology, if we just translate that to our lives, we live with a disjoint. There's a, on the one hand, you ask a person what he believes in. I believe Hashem's king. What should I be doing with my time? I should be doing mitzvos. Then a second later, he's doing shtuyot on his cell phone. Wait, didn't you just tell me a minute ago, this is what you think you should be doing, and how come you're wasting your time doing that? Ah, so there's the ideal, and there's the reality. There's, do I really connect to Hashem being king? Through tshuva, we come closer. And coming closer is always, at the root of it is Rosh Hashanah. At the root of all tshuva is Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I know Hashem is king. That's the root of everything we do. It's what we discussed in the first class, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. That's the beginning of it all. That's at the root of all the mitzvot. The more we can connect to that, the more, that's what he's saying, G'dola tshuva. Tshuva brings us to Hashem's throne. So to speak, Hashem is on the other side of the gate. Yeah, I know He's there, but I'm here. You ask a person, why are you benching quickly? Why are you benching without kavana? So the person says, what do you mean? I'm done. I'm finished with the meal. I got to go. Wait, but didn't you say that Hashem is one and all of your meal and everything? You know, there was a first grader in the park with his mother, and the mother, he asks, Ma, what's for lunch? And the mother says, sandwiches. And the kid goes, yay! So the mother says, I didn't tell you what's in the sandwiches. What are you so excited about? And the kid says, no, I can say Birkat HaMazon. Kid goes, yay over Birkat HaMazon. What a perspective. Wow. So, yeah, are we on this side of the gate, or does our tshuva bring us to the other side of the gate? Yeah.
Do you think that even it's just a given, even in the Kedusha, at least this has explained to me, you know, where we say, Baruch Shekho, from his place, you know, there are going to be times where that he's going to be on the other side of the gate, no matter, but then there's all the other, is also true, the Kadosh, 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 the whole world is filled with it, thank God, the times where we can't feel it, but, like, it's just, it's frustrating maybe, but at the same token, you know, the angel has no choice, so it'd be insane to be jealous of him as he rather started out. You know, Am Yisrael is higher because we can be on the other side of the gate. But we keep, that's why I was hoping that with the Yaakov thing, that we said at least we have the potential to move permanently and still live in this world to bridge that gate. But maybe messianic times.
He's saying that's a general tshuva. I mean, yeah. Tshuva of the individual and the general tshuva of the world. The difference between the recognition of Hashem's kingship and the recognition of the honor of Hashem's kingship, Malchuto and Kvod Malchuto, is the difference between Yirat HaRomemut and Yirat HaOnish. Yirat HaRomemut is one recognizes, wow, Hashem is way above the soul world. It's not a question of what He's going to do to me. I have tremendous awe and respect of Him. Yirat HaOnish is, I'm scared. You know what He can do to me? Right? So that's Yirat HaOnish.
That's better in a certain way, though, isn't it? Because when you say, Hashem created this world, but He's removed from it, that's not a positive thing. That's saying, okay, at least I acknowledge that there was a creator, but...
No, Yirat HaRomemut is even now. It's not that He's removed from it, it's that I have such respect. So I have awe, I have fear. People will often that's think good. That they have Yirat HaRomemut, and I don't think they do. I'll explain. It used to bother me when I learned that many Rishonim and Achronim speak that you have to go through Yirat HaOnish and only then get to Yirat HaRomemut. And I couldn't understand it. And then I realized that if there's real Yirat HaRomemut, it's got to be greater than Yirat HaOnish. If I was scared that He could zap me, that who knows what, so then I could do everything right, you know. If you're really scared, Yirat HaOnish, you're really going to do everything right. I was once talking to Rav Nevenzahl. I was asking him questions back and forth, and behind him, the Chazan started Ashrei. And when he realized that we were talking as the Chazan started Ashrei, you could see that he was so disturbed that how could it be that I'm not standing in my place a few seconds before the davening started, that I have to rush now into my davening, that I'm going to talk to the Ribon Shalom and I'm not going to be at the pace I should be. You could see he was really distraught. Like, it was a lesson to me to see how distraught he was. How many times do we, I'll catch another drink, I'll catch Ashrei in a second, right? And he's standing there, and it's just a question of taking three steps to his seat, to daven, but I'm gonna say my Ashrei a little quicker than I usually do, or I don't know what he was going to do. He was really upset. Okay, you see Yiras Shamayim, what does it mean to have Yiras Shamayim? But Yirat HaRomemut is, I have such respect that it dwarfs the Yirat HaOnish. Many people say, I have Yirat HaRomemut, God is amazing, God is awesome, God is great, God, a lot of things, but does it really reflect itself in my life?
Because God doesn't zap you right away. It's like people who smoke or people who do a lot of, a kid knows he's going to get punished. I'll take the chance. It's not happening this second. And, you know, everything that comes into mind. Hashem is merciful, this and that. But, of course, the fact that you make the connection less is the real punishment.
I'm saying it's not real.
Yeah.
If it's real, it's not just Hakarat HaRomemut. I recognize Hashem is so great. Right. It's Yirat HaRomemut. I have awe. It's going to affect everything I do.
That example is a tremendous level. I mean, but first you have to, I think it's a step baby, at least I have trouble with it. I understand the concept, but like to be able to physically, I miss the purpose of my creation, to start an Ashrei and I'm talking, you know, boom, that kind of thing is another level, of course, assuming that you were talking about life or death.
When it talks about Yirat HaRomemut in Mesilat Yesharim, it goes through a bunch of chasidut and you know. So you were saying that it was confusing that you had to go through Yirat Chet and not through the whole thing.
Yirat HaOnish
talks about, you know, you shouldn't enjoy too much, not enjoy, you shouldn't indulge too much in this world. And it goes through a bunch of like levels of piety, and only then it gets to Yirat Chet.
Okay, I'm just saying, It took me time to understand why Yirat HaRomimut has to be after Yirat HaOnish. Why you can't just go there. If you want, we could delve into it, but I don't know if it's... In a nutshell, I believe that we have difficulty connecting to Yirat HaOnish because of everything Mr. Fleisch said. It's hard to connect Yirat HaOnish because we don't directly see the Onish. We don't see that correlation where because I did X, Y happens, and if I'll only do Z, then something else will happen. We don't live in a world where we can see it. People like telling you stories, like the Chazon Ish writes. So long as things work right for him, they tell you stories. Of course you should be a God-fearing person. Of course things will work right if you do things the way of the Torah. Yeah, the Torah doesn't give us guarantees that things will be pleasant. We always wish one another we should have a good and a sweet year, right? Not only good, we want it to be sweet. And that's the challenge. So Yirat HaOnish is very hard. Yirat HaRomut sounds more accessible. I understand Hashem is awesome. I'm supposed to understand that He zaps me. I don't know. I look at the world like Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the world. I see people who did all kinds of terrible things and they get all kinds of honors. They seem to be leading the good life. Okay. So it's to say Yirat HaOnish... So that's a madrega that might be very hard for us. I'm just saying Yirat HaRomimut is a higher madrega. And you can't really get there without going through Yirat HaOnish. It took me a lot of years to understand that. back to Rav Chalap. Am Yisrael is Hashem's holy nation. We're unique. We ourselves are supposed to be His kingdom, right? B'nei Melachim. I'm representing Hashem's kingdom here. And we're not attracted to Yirat HaOnish. The Chazal tell us that Hashem created brazen things in the world, things that are extraordinarily brazen. Yisrael azim sheba umot. You want to know who's the most brazen nation? Az is Am Yisrael among the nations. We are Am Kshei Oref. We're a tough nut. when it comes to Yirat HaOnish, that's really something Hashem created for the nations. Because for them... If there's a tornado, I have a problem. So Yirat HaOnish is something that talks to them. We have a constant yearning to connect to something bigger. Where you challenge me. Look at us. Look at our little state, right? It blows my mind that Obama's here today and Clinton's here today. Who are we? What are we? What's our importance in the world? It blows my mind. I keep telling myself, don't think of Mr. Peres, think of the state of Israel. It's an honor to Klal Yisrael. At the end of the day, we count. You know, when Tony Blair, when you have heads of state throughout the world that die, I'm not sure presidents and former presidents get on a plane and fly over there. You say they do. Okay. The bottom line is, Am Yisrael has had that brazenness throughout our history. And Am Yisrael, Az Sheba Umot, it's so to speak, you challenge me. Okay, I'm ready for the challenge. That's not what scares us so much. You want to talk to me about Hashem being so great, and that's more natural for us to connect to. The Medrash says, in the future the nations will come claim against one another. Finally, Hashem will come sit down and say, you each, why don't you go with your God? Take the God you believed in and go with Him into perdition and see how it helps you. You know, you each had your faith, so take your faith with you. Take whatever you believed in into perdition. And Am Yisrael, Hashem can't say that to, right? Hashem says, okay, the Medrash indicates that there's an element where at some point in the punishment, Hashem will say, okay, you guys, you're not in the same batch as everyone else. At the essence, all chet comes from chet Eitz Hadaat. And Am Yisrael, it says, once they received the Torah, so they were cleansed from the chet of Eitz Hadaat. So where do we start? We start with the Egel. We have a different starting point than the nations. Yes?
You can still say that, because I mean, the Nuri Avowitz and the Kolkatan Gibleh, so it's actually kind of worse. They only have their one that they're associated with. We have all of ours that we're associated with. You and Tzion can help us.
I hear.
We have no elbows. That's not
You've heard of Shuli Rend?
Yeah.
Okay. So, he has a song, Adoni Hamshorer.
Yeah, it's so
okay. Okay, so that song is, they say it's a true story, that he had a friendship with a famous singer, a famous poet. They used to meet at the bath at the pool, and they'd always argue philosophy, and they'd both end up very, or he'd end up very upset. And they'd still swim laps, and then every time they'd stop, they'd have arguments. And at the end, the conclusion of the song is how his friend, the poet, ended up hospitalized, and things were looking very bleak. And then he told him, you should go rest in peace. Lech le-shalom. And he said, amen, and closed his eyes. So I think that the recurring theme is that deep down inside, even when a person goes the wrong route, Chazal say nizdaza nishmatan. There's a part of us that can't detach itself from Sinai. But I'd rather leave the question hanging.
They can't be detached from Sinai, like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.
What do you mean?
Well, they had an argument, and Reish Lakish hurt Rabbi Yochanan's feelings. Then Reish Lakish died, and then Rabbi Yochanan got sad, and then he died.
Right.
Is that also stemming from Sinai?
I didn't say Sinai. I said Sinai.
Oh, Sinai.
Sinai.
Oh, okay.
Hardwired into something.
Saying there's something, right. So Chazal, tell us a complicated concept. Now you guys are going to take me for a ride. We'll just introduce it. Chazal tell us about specific instances in history that they're not the way we read them. Very often the Torah tells us people did things wrong. Chazal tells people did things wrong. Chazal had no problem telling us so-and-so did X, Y, and Z, and Chazal throw the book at him, as does the Torah. But sometimes Chazal tells it's not the way you thought it was. So, was Adam not supposed to eat from the forbidden fruit? On some level, he was not supposed to eat. On the other level, he was supposed to eat, right? This was the starting point of the world, was supposed to be with his eating from the fruit. There was an element of that that was part of Hashem's plan. But it was an element of a weakness that was supposed to be revealed and has to be fixed. But, says Rav Harlap, there are two different weaknesses that have to be fixed. The nations have to fix what stems back to the forbidden fruit. Am Yisrael got rid of that when they got the Torah. They have to fix what happened with the Egel. And the Gemara tells us in Tractate of Avodah Zarah, a line again, which really deserves a few classes. Chazal say, the only reason Am Yisrael transgressed with the golden calf was so there'd be room to do tshuva. So, there's... not exactly. Chazal say that Am Yisrael, through the golden calf, brought into the world a concept of tshuva of the masses. So that every time a person falls or the people fall, you'll say, look at how bad you are. And the people will look back and say, we're not worse than the Jews after the golden calf. If they were able to do tshuva, we can get back. That's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Chazal say, when David transgressed with Bathsheba, that was also so that the individuals would know that they can do tshuva. Because when a person does something wrong, you're going to say, can I do tshuva? And the answer is, look at David HaMelech. He took a girl who's 12 years old, who's married to someone, who's publicly the king, and everything was we know the story, and he was able to do tshuva and still become the great David HaMelech. So it's an opener to every individual about his potential to do tshuva. But it's not the idea of echtav ashuv, I'll transgress and do tshuva. It's the idea, there's a path that Hashem wants developed in the world. Yes?
Two things. First of all, in reverse order, with Bathsheba and David, you also learn that teshuva doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be okay after it, because the person died.
So it's going to be worse?
Not only one person died, right?
Is that the same idea with Shlomo?
Just 1 second. Let's finish with him. Yeah.
And the second thing is, if the ego brought Teshuva into the world, then I thought also in the Rosar, I think even the same Daf says.
You think that?
I thought also in the Rosar, even I think the same Daf says that Teshuva was created 2,000 years before the world.
Right.
So how did this bring into the world that already had to exist before the world in order to?
Teshuva existed from Adam Arishon. Teshuva existed. Right. Teshuva existed from before creation, as it says in the opening of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, before Hashem could create the world, Hashem created Teshuva. This is the idea of latet pitchon pe. This is, so to speak, to create the path. It's not that Teshuva didn't exist. You could do it. But do you know you could do it? Is there, do the masses know that even if they've done terrible thing, they as a mass can do tshuva? The pitchon peh, the ability to say, Ribbono Shel, look, you've forgiven people before me who have done so bad, you should be able to forgive me. It doesn't mean the concept didn't exist beforehand.
We have Kayin, and Kayin and Hathor, right. I mean, who lived afterwards and all this. We have places long before this. I mean, he destroyed half the world at the time.
You're bringing me to a long discussion. Let's try to encapsulize it. Where does the word slicha appear in the Torah? First time it appears is salachti kidverecha. Hashem does not tell Adam Arishon salachti. He does not say to Cain salachti. He does say salachti to the Jewish people at large. Okay, so there's an element of slicha, an element of where a person can reach with their tshuva that is revealed both on the general sense of where Am Yisrael as a people transgressed and they could do tshuva and the level of tshuva they could attain. Salachti kidverecha. Which is on Yom Kippur, by the way, right? Salachti kidverecha. I don't know. I don't think we have that word there. Right? I don't know. Don't know. Yeah.
Two things. One, at some point in Masechet Brachot, it talks about certain prayers that were never said before certain people said them. But the sort of idea that they brought that idea into the world. And my second question.
It's similar but not the same.
And my second question is that it seems like it's like a false goal. Like, it seems like our goal is, you know, to learn the whole Torah and to be loyal servants of God and yada, yada, yada. but it seems like they got there at the giving of the Torah. And then, like, the next step in serving God was to go 3 steps back. So they could get there again.
It's a good question. But let's try to finish up our lap. We got 4 minutes. Think about it. Rav Charlap says, our perspective, if we're always working back to the Egel, is that whenever we did something wrong, it's so that we can help reveal how much we can make it right again. Just like the Egel, Chazal say, was the opening line to teach us how much we could do tshuva, so we view every step down as a step up. It's potential for a step up. And when Moshe tells Am Yisrael, Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem, what Moshe is saying is, when you unite, you represent that idea in its highest form, the idea that you as a people can go up. The Pasuk says, the later generation will say, why was this nation hit like this? And they'll say, because they left the Torah. So the Torah describes two things in our parasha. It says, a later generation will look at you and wonder, why did you reach such a destruction? And the non-Jew will look at you and wonder, why did you reach such destruction? And then the Torah says, the non-Jew will say, because they left the Torah. But what will the Jew say? The Torah described two people asking the question, right? The later generation, Ador Acharon, and Hanochri Ashevo Meir Tzichoka. And then the Torah says, in a general sense, Ve'amiru, first the Torah says, Ve'amiru kol agoyim, the nations will say. And then it says, Ve'amiru, and then they will say, and it doesn't tell us who the they is. Am Yisrael's transgressions, we said, are, from our mind, a stepping stone to tshuva. It's a part of a process. So then, who's going to be that later generation? The later generation is supposed to be the Hador Acharon, the final generation, is a generation that will reach tshuva. So they will look at things differently. The last generation will sense what happened until here. Very often in hindsight, in hindsight, we can understand a lot of things that happen in the world. You look forward, you look at the present, you have a hard time understanding what's going on. But that last generation, Ador Acharon, will be able to look back and say, ah, wow, this was all a process towards tshuva. It's because they left the Torah, but that was their way up. And the nations will also come to a recognition that our process was also an educational process for them. The nations will say, why was Hashem upset at them? And then the Ve'amru is not the nations who say it. It says Ve'amru in silent. We think it's a continuation. The nations will say they left the Torah. And the answer is no. It's not the nations who say that final Amru. It's Am Yisrael answering. You're looking at our destruction. It's they left the covenant of Hashem. So the final generation will reveal the depths of tshuva. So the final generation will also reveal the things we don't understand about how the world's running. The final generation will reveal how every chet was a stepping stone for tshuva. But, it says, Haniglot lanu vanenu adolam. That means they'll still have a responsibility in that final generation to ensure we all keep the Torah. People think, if I did tshuva, I'm okay. No. I'm still responsible not only to look back at what happened, I'm responsible for what goes around me today. Chazal say Hashem has a room called Mistarim that Hashem goes into to weep. The Gemara in Chagiga says. It says in the Pasuk, "B'mistarim tivken nafshi." Chazal say there's a room called Mistarim. On the external, what we see is, look at how wrong we are, and so we deserve what's happening. But B'mistarim, in Hashem, so to speak, hidden place, Hashem says, I see what they're really made out of. And that's where Hashem says, I see who they really are. And that's the secret of what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. We're trying to connect to that hidden connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, I know my whole year was A or B or C or D. I want to be on a place where I recognize I am your kingdom. I come and I say, Hashem, you're the king. If you're the king, then I'm part of the kingdom. My whole year, you'll ask me then, why did I do C? How come I did all those things? Right, but I want to reconnect to that. We say that even when Hashem is judging us, b'misterim, in Hashem's hidden place, He says, I know they're hidden. What's really deep down inside of them is what they want to do right. And that's what we try to connect to when we declare Hashem king on Rosh Hashanah. I want to add, this is the conclusion of Rav Chalap on the Parsha. Chazal tell us Rosh Hashanah is the day Adam HaRishon was judged. So on Rosh Hashanah, he was just created, and the fruit was too enticing, right? He ate from the fruit. And on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem found a way to say something positive about him. Hashem said, I'm going to judge you favorably today. You did something wrong, but I am going to say, you're going to live. I'm going to say positive, and that gives us the whole approach to Rosh Hashanah. It's a day about being positive. We're recognizing Hashem as king, and Hashem says, I chose this day because this is the day where even though Adam HaRishon could have been judged for death, I said, I will find the angle to judge him for life. if Rav Chalap says, connect to the hidden part of who we are, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, from now on, I will judge humanity on this day of creation, the day man was created, man's birthday, the world's birthday in that sense, because the essence of the world is man. And just as I found how to say something positive about man back then, Hashem wants to say positive things about us now. That's part of the theme of Rosh Hashanah.